the image that came to mind as we were developing this talk was that of a palm tree in a storm. And you know how a palm tree just kind of goes with the wind, and the wind gives up, and the palm tree stands back up, and it just keeps giving. It's flexible. It has resilience. And within that, you know, the other thing that a palm tree does is when the wind is blowing hard enough, especially a coconut palm, those coconuts fly off. And even in the midst of a storm, they're producing seed. They're moving forward. They're going on. They're creating new life. So, you know, having godly resilience in our lives is an opportunity for Him to work within us, even in the midst of a storm. And when the storm is over, have new blessings, new life out there beyond that. So, but another thing that came to mind talking about resilience was peace and being content in the circumstances that we're in. And for me, having control of things is really important, and it's really hard for me to let go. And you know, with this COVID stuff going on, we really don't have a whole lot of control over what's going on out in society, and we're being confined into you know, our inner space, so to speak, where we just can't go out and do things that we want to do. And you kind of lose track of your foundations when you're doing that, and it's really hard to stay grounded in a faith community when you can't be a part of the faith community. And I think everybody has experienced that, not being able to go to church or even have social activities with friends. So, you know, how do I react? Okay, well, I can get mad, I can blame the president, or I can blame China, or I can, you know, blame other leaders. I can get mad at people for not wearing their masks when they're going to Publix, or they can get mad at me because I am wearing a mask and I'm looking at them funny because they're not wearing their mask. And or I can just stay home and crawl inside myself, or, you know, we just kind of crawl inside ourselves and then post something on social media. And, you know, we spout off a little bit, and then we go back and we look at the comments, and then we get upset again because we can't understand why everybody else who's commenting on what we said don't agree with what we said. So, you know, we're always right. But in all these cases, we're not really feeling a sense of peace in our life. And I was doing a devotional, and this was a couple months ago, and Charles Stanley had submitted something on this. And when Bob was talking about having that non-anxious presence earlier today, I thought, oh, this is really a good way to do that. And that's getting to know God's peace. And what is God's peace? So we look at John 14:27 as a scripture. And Jesus tells us, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let be fearful." So there's four elements that Charles Stanley spoke about. And he said, when fears and anxieties and troubles arise in your life, look for the following signs of God's peace as it transcends circumstances. And he said, often peace is more readily seen and felt in the midst of trial and trouble. But regardless of what you are experiencing, know this, God is your peace. Put your faith in Him. God's peace surpasses all understanding. The peace of God is not something that we can always figure out. I mean, have you experienced this when it seems like everything is raging around you, and all of a sudden you just sense, God, where are you in the midst of this? And He shows up, and you just get that sense of peace in your soul. And we can't figure it out, but it's there. It's operative, and it's available to us. And it's just beyond our ability to understand it. So God's peace also extends to all of His followers. God's peace is extended to every person who accepts Jesus the Christ as their Savior. you turn away from your sin and pursue a life in obedience to the guidance of God's Word and the Holy Spirit. And God's peace is also an abiding state of being. In the difficult circumstances of life, the Holy Spirit is present to help us. A peace, a deep, genuine, God-given peace, can be the norm in which you live day to day if you seek Him out and seek His peace. Okay, so God's peace is key to moving through these challenging times, and part of that moving through experience is being resilient in our faith. So when you think of resilience, I already used the palm tree example, so you can't use that. So when you think of resilience, what do you think of? What comes to mind? Just holler it out. Go ahead. Okay. Bungee cord. Yeah, very good. Uh-huh. Exercise ball, like one of those yoga ball things where you bounce up and down. Okay. Hmm. Trampoline. Oh, that's great. That's a good image. Okay. Let me give you a definition of resilience. And I don't think this is in the outline. And this is out of the little note thing that Deborah had with her that we can make available to you if you really want it. So here's the definition. The power or ability to return to the original form. The power or the ability to return to the original form, comma, position, comma, after being bent, comma, compressed or stretched, comma, elasticity. So let me go over that first part of it again. The power or ability to return to the original form, position, after being bent, compressed, or stretched, elasticity. The ability to recover from illness, depression, adversity, or the like. And here's a kind of an interesting term, buoyancy. The ability to float above. So the world is a challenging place to live true to our faith. You know, we're bombarded every day by all kinds of messages that go against our faith foundation. And this can land us in some difficult circumstances. I mean, when you see what's going on in the media, immoral lifestyles, illicit actions are really kind of encouraged today. And we need to have a purposeful resilience in trusting God and following His way so that as people observe us, they have no doubt in our faithfulness to God. So here's 10 tips for building resilience into your life. The first one, stay strong in the Lord. In scriptures, quoting, reading, reminding yourself of what God has done for you in the past, and that's one of the reasons that He gave us the scriptures. And these are things that Judy and Bob both talked about. Deborah touched on it too, about, you know, spending some time with the Lord. And we look at John 14, verse 1. Jesus tells His disciples, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God and trust in Him." And I think I gave you the Amplified version in there. I just like sometimes to look at that because it just places that emphasis on the words that are being shared. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be afraid or cowardly. Believe confidently in God and trust in Him. Have faith. Hold on to it. Rely on it. Keep going and believe also in Jesus. In the book of Daniel, while the Hebrews were in exile, one of the times they were in exile, but King Nebuchadnezzar made a golden image, 60 cubits, which is about 90 feet tall, and ordered everyone that when the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you were to fall down and worship the golden image. And if you did not worship the golden image, you would be thrown into a blazing furnace. And I'm sure you all remember this story. You know, three of the Jews who had been actually to be appointed as administrators over Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they didn't obey the king's decree. When they went for the king, Nebuchadnezzar, he gave them an opportunity to worship the golden image and be spared from getting thrown into the furnace. But their response was, "O king, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward them. And I like what it says in the Message Bible, because I like to look at that too. It says his face turned purple, and he ordered them to be thrown into the fire. Okay, so when the king and his officials looked down into the furnace, they saw four men, not three, four men walking around in the fire without harm, and the fourth had the appearance like a son of the gods. Then the king called to the men and said, "Come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants who put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielding up their bodies so as not to serve or worship any god except their own God." Even in this time of great trial, this trio stood fast. They held on to their faith. And this wasn't a spur of the moment decision on their part. They had a deep and ongoing relationship with God. Okay, number two, pushing through to the Lord, cultivating a relationship with him when things are good, so it is nothing new to get close to him when the stressful times come. John 14, 2 and 3. "In my Father's house are many, many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, because I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, you may be also." So how are you doing on your relationship with God? Do you have a plan? Are you spending time in scripture, in prayer, in worship? Do you feel like you need more? And I think we all feel like we need more, but, you know, we're human. We're not perfect, and life gets in our way. So if you have a day where you don't spend your time in scripture or you miss your prayer time because life gets in the way, don't beat yourself up over it, you know. But start to prioritize your time. If you're not doing anything at all, you know, start out with maybe just 10 minutes a day. And, you know, find some sort of a devotional to read through, you know, use the daily office that we have in the Anglican Church. But it's not the end of the world if you miss out. Just start again. Keep going. And look for opportunities to strengthen your relationship with God. And, you know, I've pulled quite a few scriptures out of John 14. You might want to take a look at that and just for the next week, use John 14 as your study guide. And this takes place right after the Last Supper. And Jesus is with his disciples, and he's really pouring out his heart and telling these guys that he's been with for the last 3 years what's going to be taking place and how he is promising to carry them through and following God's promises to carry them through too. You know, listen to Christian music, and Deborah touched on this too, and there's, you know, we're fortunate to have a local radio station, 91.9, that plays a pretty broad variety of music. If you don't like that, there's all kinds of apps. I mean, Amazon, YouTube, Spotify, they all have, you know, Christian music apps on there, and you can build your own library if you want. But look for opportunities to pull God into your life. And the other thing that music does for me, at least, is when I'm singing, and worshiping, my soul, myself, gets out of the way. Our spirit, when we're in worship, is a direct connection to God's spirit. So when you're in worship, just enjoy that opportunity to be spending time with God and with the Holy Spirit. Okay, number three, keep strong fellowship with other believers. Keep the fire burning. Now we're dropping back a chapter, John 13, but Jesus says, I am giving you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you, so you are to love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love and unselfish concern for one another. And I know this has been really hard to do over the last few months. Social distancing, you know, no church services for a long time. You can't do hugs unless you have foam noodles with little gloves on them. You know, you're wearing masks all the time, so you're hiding your face. People can't see what your expressions are. And before masks, and I used to do this, not because I was trying to manipulate anything, but it was interesting to see if you were walking through the grocery store or walking through Lowe's or whatever, and you smiled at somebody walking past you, what's their immediate reaction? Is to smile back. It's contagious. A smile is contagious. So we're missing out on those opportunities to share with people we don't even know a little grace, a little happiness. You know, we can't have Bible studies anymore, and just other social events. So if you are tuning in virtually to your worship services, it's better than nothing. At least you're interacting with the body through that activity, but don't just sit on the couch and watch the service. You know, when it's time to stand up, stand up. When it's time to sing, sing. Be responsive in the prayers so that you're engaged fully in that activity. Okay, number four, keep moving. Don't be passive. It's in our moving that the Lord is able to direct us. If he says to wait, then you need to wait. But don't let the circumstances control you. And when I came to number four, I was reminded of a scout trip that I took when I was a teen, and we were canoeing on the Current River, which is in southern Missouri. Beautiful river, located in the northern Ozark Mountains. So, you know, there's some pretty good elevation changes as you're working down the river. And, you know, we were going to spend the weekend out there, so we loaded up our canoes with all of our gear. And as we were canoeing, I had been canoeing before quite a few times, but in a lake. And, you know, canoeing in a lake, you don't really need to worry about too much. You paddle out there and you just kind of sit in the canoe and you can relax and you don't really have to worry anything. But on the river, of course, there are sections where you can do that. But most of the time, there's some fast moving water and the Current River had some class 4 and 5 rapids in it. So, as we're getting ready to shove off and we'd paddled around a little, you know, in the calm section right by the launch area. But I remember our scout leader saying to us, whatever you do, when you get to the rapids, keep paddling so that you're moving as fast or faster than the current, and you'll be able to control the canoe. If you don't paddle, the current is going to take you, and it's going to turn you whichever way it chooses. So keep moving, you know. Be in the rapids now. Don't just sit back and do nothing, but keep moving forward, seeking God and moving forward towards him. In Colossians 2:6, Paul tells us, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. Walk in him. Be with him. In the Amplified Translation, it says this, walk in union with him. And when you're doing this, reflecting on his character in the things you do and say, living lives that lead others away from sin. Okay, number five, look at the big picture. Okay, we know this isn't going to last forever, and move towards acceptance. There probably will be some permanent changes. I hope that wearing masks all the time is not one of them, but there's going to be some changes that sometimes you just have to live with things. And if you ask the Lord, he will go through it with you. Matthew 7:7, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. Manage your emotions. And Judy spent some time on this already, but don't push them down. You know, deal with your emotions. Live with your emotions. Don't use them to manipulate others. Don't let them rule your behavior. You have choices on how to control your emotions and how you react. And see these tough times as an opportunity to grow more in the Lord. Choose to hope. Choose to love those around you. Have interests beyond yourself. And use your faith. Put it to work. Stick to a routine. And again, Judy and Deborah both talked about this a little bit. Judy gave you I can't remember what sheet it is, but there was a whole list of real practical activities to do. And Deborah mentioned too, eat well. And one of our challenges is, and Betty and I both have sweet tooth issues, and which can be a good thing because we both have sweet tooth issues. It can be a bad thing because we both have sweet tooth issues. So sometimes it's challenging to eat healthy all the time, but we do enjoy what we eat, so as you can tell. Make sure you get enough sleep. Sleep is so important. It gives your body a chance to rest. Be with or communicate with people who can make you laugh and who will help you through the hard times and help you navigate through that. It's so easy to kind of feed off everybody's negative energy, but try and be that person that can, you know, bring a little levity to a situation. Okay, number 8, go the distance. In Hebrews 12:1-2, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance or perseverance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And when I saw this section, I was kind of reminded of the Lord of the Rings and that whole adventure. And I don't know if you've read the books or seen the movies, but basically you have this little hobbit who is come in possession of the ring, which turns you into a little weird little creature. But it basically sucks your ability to make decisions out of you, and it takes over your life. But the whole point of this thing was that the hobbit had to take the ring, and he couldn't do it by himself, but he had his little troop of people, and then he partnered up with elves and men and dwarves, and the goal was to get the ring to the volcanic mountain and have it destroyed. And it couldn't have happened by himself, but the trials and tribulations they went through this, going the distance and seeing that the goal needed to be made and sticking to it, go the distance and follow through on those things. But again, you can't do it by yourself. Look for help, look for opportunities. If there are people that you need help, and this kind of blends into number 9, ask for help when you need it. Don't let pride keep you from letting the Lord use prayer ministry or maybe a professional counselor to guide you through hard times. And Truevine has some new flyers. I think they're over on the table over here, and some new cards. And if you yourself need some extra prayer time, or if you know someone who might benefit from the ministry of Truevine, please feel free to grab a couple of those and take them with you and hand them out. We also have a new phone number for the ministry, and that's all on the new pamphlets. And I think you have some of the little business cards over there too. So we have some business cards over there too. Back to John 14:12-13. I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these in extent and outreach, because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name as my representative. This I will do so that the Father may be glorified and celebrated in the Son. Okay, number 10, lay it all at his feet. We can't do it on our own. We have to turn circumstances over to God. And whether it's COVID or anything else going on in your life, you just have to lay it, sometimes just lay it at his feet and let him have it. And Judy found this, and I get this devotional, but I don't read it every day. But LL Ministry has a daily devotional you can subscribe to. It's called Seeds of the Kingdom. And this one was from about a month ago. And the writer is Wendy Scott. Wendy and her husband Eric have been involved in LL in South Africa for many years. And so this is her devotional. Starts out with Ezekiel 47:1. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple, and I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple towards the east, for the temple faced east. And then Ezekiel 47 goes on to describe the different depths as Ezekiel is being led out into the water. And he had this, Ezekiel had a vision, and he sees water flowing out from the temple, and an angel led him through water that was ankle deep, then knee deep, then waist high, and finally to water deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. And this is what Wendy says. I believe the river is a symbol of our relationship with God and His Holy Spirit, who is often depicted as a river. There are four different levels of water in the river, starting with the shallow part and eventually leading to the deep part. The ankle-deep water could reflect our initial meeting with Jesus, where the Holy Spirit comes to live in us as a part of the Holy Trinity of God, the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And just as we test the temperature of the sea or pool water by standing ankle deep or dipping our toe in it, so we are unsure how the Holy Spirit functions in our lives at first. Then we start realizing that the Holy Spirit is our standby. John 14:16. We turn to Him in times of distress and confusion for Him to comfort us and guide us, and He strengthens our knees to withstand the troubles we face. However, sometimes it is only in real crises that we learn to cling to God continuously so that His arms are around our waist and we can lean fully as the only way to maintain our balance and sanity through many weeks, months, or possibly even years. The final stage of this is that of immersion in the river of the Holy Spirit, where we no longer stand on our own feet or depend on our own strength, but we yield ourselves to the flow of the Holy Spirit in us at all times. We have learned to trust Him completely, and we have a truly intimate relationship with God. We are ever filled and stimulated with the Holy Spirit. This level of functioning of the Holy Spirit is what we aim for. And even if we fall short at times, the more we achieve this oneness with Him, the more we will desire it. Because the supernatural experience of His power and love flowing through us is indescribably precious, tangible, and uplifting. There is truly nothing like it. And she ended the devotional with this prayer. Thank you, Father God, that you sent your Holy Spirit to be with us when Jesus ascended to you. Inspire us to desire more and more of your presence, that we may be filled through all our beings with the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Amen. Okay, and I want to end with, again, John 14, verses 25 through 27. I have told you these things while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Comforter, Advocate, Intercessor, Counselor, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, in my place, to represent me and act on my behalf, He will teach you all things and he will help you remember everything that I have said, told you. Peace I leave with you, my perfect peace, Jesus' perfect peace, I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. And this is, the again, from the Amplified Bible, let Jesus's perfect peace calm you in every circumstance and give you courage and strength for every challenge. So we need to put our trust in him. And I want to end this with a song. It's called The Goodness of God. And if you want to just sit and listen and kind of feel the song, look at the words, the lyrics are in your package there. If you feel like singing along, go ahead and sing along. But just take this last 4 or 5 minutes and just rest in the goodness of God. Thank you.